Good afternoon. I'm stepping a little bit beyond my comfort zone today, so to make it a little more comfortable, please excuse my bare feet. A couple of weeks ago, Simon spoke to us about and challenged us, have we put God into a box? He spoke in part about whether perhaps we've boxed God in the way he relates to us. And I want to pick up a little bit on that today. Perhaps we've put an expectation on the way God can relate to us. So in the last couple of weeks since Simon spoke, have we made room for Jesus to surprise us? Last week, Maria gave us a little challenge and asked us, do we have tunnel vision? Perhaps we're letting our feelings be in control instead of leaning on Jesus in faith and allowing him to burst the boundaries of our expectations, because God has no boundaries. We have a given in our lives, an absolute certainty that Jesus loves us. The contest or difficulty, if you like, that we might have in this great love is that when Holy Spirit moves, we get caught in the circumstances of life. Sometimes when problems arise, no matter how substantial they are or how minor they may seem, we can actually find ourselves punching the air aimlessly. Yet, we are told to do as Jesus did and walk as imitators of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This comes back to the very design that God had for us in the first place, that we would be images of God. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And unfortunately, sin made the image that we mirrored blurry and marred. Jesus came to restore our relationship with God, to restore us back to the original intention, for us to be righteous and able to image God again to the world and to the heavenlies. So, for us to know what we're supposed to be imaging, what we should actually look like, what should we be doing, we need to look at Jesus. And what I'm about to say comes from Sochem. So if you've done Sochem or you're doing Sochem, you've probably heard this, but it still blows my mind. Jesus is 100% God. He is absolutely everything that we need to know about God, because if we've seen him, we've seen the Father. But Jesus is also 100% man. He is everything that we need to know about ourselves. So, if we're supposed to image God and do what Jesus did, well, we need to hang out with Jesus. There is no better way to get to know someone than spending time with them, right? So, we want to talk to them. We want to hear their voice, get to know their voice, get to know the way they speak, how they treat us, how they treat others, the ideas that they may have, be in the same space as them, get to know their habits. And it's no different with Jesus. We need to spend some time with him, and we need to make room for Jesus in our lives so that we can be deeply in relationship with him. Anyone who's been in love would know that no relationship will flourish unless you make time for one another. A guy named Phil Strout said it this way about Jesus and our relationship with him. Be current in your relationship to be current in your ministry. But what does that actually look like? So I thought today we'd have a little look at Jesus' life together and see some of what we need to actually imitate. I've only pulled out a few verses. There is lots and lots to attest to this, so feel free to have a dig for them. But for brevity, and so that you're not bombarded, I'm just going to show you a couple. I want to first look at the rhythm in Jesus' life of blessing God the Father and blessing others. I don't know if that's clicking or not. Aha, there we go. Jesus arose and left the synagogue. He entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Jesus spent time in the synagogue, listening and being in that space of worship to his Father. He also blessed those who were around him. Despite being in a place, he's there to eat a meal and hang out with his mates. And in the middle of the meal, he's healing someone. And then, despite the late hour of the day, he continues healing whoever presents to him. Okay. Jesus also had... Oh, I think it's gone one too far. There's a lag. One more. One more. Okay, somewhere there. Let's go with that. All right. Jesus also had a rhythm of blessing the Father and receiving from him. So Jesus healed a man. There's a story. Jesus healed a man of leprosy. And he explicitly told the man to not tell a single person except to present to his priest who would have known him and show that he'd been healed. But this is what happened. But now even more the report about Jesus went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him, to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. I'm not going to read all of that. It is there for you, but you'll find in this passage too, in Luke 6:6-12, that there is again a rhythm of Jesus praying where he is blessing others, he is blessing his Father and receiving from him too. Even on the Sabbath, Jesus healed a man whose hand was withered, much to the disgust of the Pharisees who were present, but he was very clear that any time is a good time to do the work of the Father. Jesus also made time to go to the mountain and pray. So we want to make room for Jesus, where we can receive his rest and his peace. Now, if you are remotely like me, you get lost in the busyness of life, the boring and mundane ebb and flow of each day, the rush to make time, the importance of not forgetting to make that really important phone call. Make sure you pay that bill. Let that person know that you've been thinking of them. And when we have a list of to-dos, it may seem really logical to get them all done and then carve out the time somewhere before, between finishing dinner, getting prepared for the next day and going to sleep, to spend a little bit of quiet and private time with Jesus. But where is Jesus in the busyness? Even in our own households, we would do tasks and chores together. How do we find rest in Jesus if we don't get all of our daily tasks done and we're leaving him till the end? Do we only allow Jesus into those special little moments where we feel he might get all of our attention and we might want to sit in some religious posture that makes us feel like we're appropriately giving to him? Now, it is important to have some of those times where we have that quiet time with Jesus. I'm not for a moment saying that it's not important to make that time. It'll come, maybe. Let's see. When I read through my New Testament, I notice time and again that Jesus actually loves to be a part of the everyday things. As Maria said, he's actually really excited to be a part of everything we do. For example, walking and talking. The road to Emmaus is probably one of the most well-known instances of this. Or reclining at a table with his disciples. We know that as we gather together here and participate in church time on a Sunday or during the week, perhaps at a prayer meeting, maybe in a life group, that we can really find rest in him because we're focused on him. What if I ask Jesus into that moment where I'm paying my bills? What if I chatted to him while I was transferring money and thanking him for the provision that I can do that? What if while I stood at the sink doing the second load of the dishes for the day, I breathed him in deeply and received focus afresh, ready for the next activity of the day? Or thanked him for the opportunity to look outside of the kitchen window and adore his creation? When we take our focus off of the task at hand and shift our gaze to him, where we make room for Jesus, what a difference it makes. Looking to Jesus, this is from Hebrews 12, 2-3, looking to Jesus. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Weary and faint-hearted from what? Well, verse 1 actually tells us beforehand. It's about running the race set before us with perseverance, the course, the race of imaging and imitating God to the world and the heavenlies around us. When we make room for Jesus to be within our everyday, the small tasks, he gives us rest and peace to endure and to continue blessing others. So from a place of rest and peace, having received from God all that we need to persevere, we can continue to make room for Jesus to show us the next steps, the who and the where we need to be in order to bless others by bringing God's kingdom. what we do for the least of these, Jesus said we do for him. If we bless others, we bless God. Blessing God is all about praising, exalting, and worshipping him in all that we do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We want to be a spirit-led people. So as we make room for Jesus in the little things, we make room for our attention to be seeing where the Spirit is leading. Let's make room for Jesus so that we can truly be the kingdom people who image and imitate God for the world and the heavenlies to see who he is. So my challenge for you, my question for you is how might you make room for Jesus this week in a new way? How might you be able to shift your focus just a little bit and make room for Jesus?